ascribes to him divine powers. That's a primitive idea. That's why Avram said, no, no, no. He said, don't take away from Malchus HaShalom. But at any rate, the pasuk goes on. The pasuk says that they said, "V'nifcha kvar reinu kvar esmei secha." Ish mimenu es kivro lo yichle mimcha mitvar mei secha. The answer is, what kind of a question is this? You're such a respected person, so nobody would prevent you from burying your mace. I mean, you'd have to be a Russia to do such a thing. You see? So what's the question? What's your request? Of course. You see, Lakim, we're not going to allow you to bury your wife. There's plenty of land around. What's the big thing? What's the big deal? Of course. So it says, Vayakam HaMishtach Lamas Necheis, and then he said this. He started again. Okay. And you notice he used the same term before. He says, "Tenuli achuzas keveri machem." See? Well, what did Avraham Avinu answer? He didn't answer to the point. He doesn't know the answer. Ishu, it's finished. Ishmi menu. Es kiver lo yechum lachem lachvar mesecha. So he wanted to pay for it. So he should have said, "Please allow me to pay for it." No, no, no. He gives the whole story. In Yeshus Nafshechem Ligbor Esmesi Milfanai, and Chazal say Ephraim Betzocha was set up that day. Why? Because of Kavod Avram. Because of Kavod Avram. That Avram should be Kona from a person who is a recognized individual. Not appropriate to be Kona from just from anybody. But it says, we start again. Okay? So then it says no. So what did Ephron say? Ephron, okay, fine. You see? What was the dialogue? The dialogue was like this. They said to Avram, they said, "What's the problem? You have to bury Sarah." "No problem. Nobody's going to stop you from burying Sarah any place you want." But he said, "No, you don't understand. This is not just a practical burial that I'm about to do with the Sarah. This is a different kind of thing. You see? What I'm doing here is, this is not kvura. Ordinarily, kvura is just the removal of a body. That's the purpose of kvura. This is not the removal of Sarah's body. This is the establishing of something positive. This is achuzas kever. It's a different concept. I want to establish this kvura is not the absence of a person, but it's the continued existence of the person. It's achuzas kever. What is the achuzas kever? The achuzas kever is, that's why the pasuk, and he said, and Avraham Avinu like this, said, that was the first thing he said. He said, "I want achuzas kever. This is achuzas kever." So achuzas kever is a positive entity. It's not simply the removal of a person. Positive, to establish a positive entity. So then Ephron said like this. He said, "Fine." He says, "Leine asod nasati loch v'amar shabo b'chon asatia leine b'nei ami nasatia loch k'vor meisecha." You see? He says, then Avram answered again. "V'aydaba lefron bosnei amar sema achim atalush meini." Please, listen to me. "Nasati kesef asodah kach mimeni vek buras meisi shama." I want to pay for it. What was the importance? You see, what was the importance? Then it says, take a look, the pasuk emphasizes this. "Vayokom stei Ephron asher b'machpelah asher lefnei Mamre, hasodeh v'ha'mor asher bo, v'chol ha'etz," and Marshall mentioned, "v'chol ha'etz asher b'asodeh asher b'chol gvul ha'soviv." Not just he first mentioned the Ma'or and the Soda. No, "v'chol ha'etz asher b'asodeh asher b'chol gvul ha'soviv," the entire Soda. "La'avram l'mikno le'enei v'nei ches b'chol bo'i sha'ariro." Okay? V'acharechein, after the pasuk elaborates, "V'acharechein kono kova Avram esor ishto boras demachpelo al pnei mamre yichevron beres kinon v'yokom asode v'amora shebo la'avram lachuzas kever meiz b'nei ches." You see? Then again, the end of the parasha, where Avram was nifter, "V'yikbru also Yitzchak Yishmael Bonov," where? "El ma'oras ha-machpelo al sedei Ephraim ben Tzohar achiti asher p'nei Mamre." Hasodeh asher kono Avram me'es b'nei ches shomor kubar Avram v'sor ishto. Okay? Again, you have by Yaakov Avinu. What do you say? What do you say by Yaakov Avinu? Also, Torah speaks Torah that saves words everywhere else, over here, expresses itself very fully. He says, after the brachas, it says, Kol Eile Shifte Yisrael Shnei Mosa, V'zos Hashem Dibra Lamaviv V'Orchason, Ish Asher Kivrchoso Berachoson, V'yitzavoson, V'yom Aleyan, this is V'yichi, Shishi, Ani Nesof Al Ami, Kivru Osi El Avosai, bury me with my fathers, where El Hamaora, Asher Bistei Efron Achiti, to the Ma'ora that's in the field of Efron Achiti. Bama'or asher, again, Bama'or, fine, enough. Bama'or asher b'stei ha'machpelo, asher p'nei mamre be'eretz kenoan, asher kono avrom es ha'sode me'eis efron achiti l'achuz ha'skover. Okay? That's enough, right? Shoma kovru es avrom ve'eis sorishto. Shoma kovru es avrom ve'eis sorishto. Shoma kovru es yitzchok ve'eis rifko ishto. V'shoma kovarti es leo. Okay? Right? Not finished. Mikne hasode v'amora shebo me'eis b'necheis. Amazing. So many psukim. What is the concept? The idea is, you see that the Torah is spending a lot of time with this. Shows you that there's some concept here. The idea is that this kever wasn't simply a place where a person was buried. It's to remove the person. What it was the establishing of a positive entity, a mokom achuzas kever. It was an entity. It was actually not that Sarah was removed, but Sarah in her death was creating something, creating an entity of a ma'ora samachpela, a positive entity. We'll soon get to the concept. That's why, going back to Chayesara, that's why Avram said, it's not enough that you let me use the field. Letting me use the field is nothing. But there must be a Chalos Kinyan. A Chalos Kinyan. I have to make a Chalos Kinyan. Since I'm establishing a positive entity, I must do it through the proper means. And the proper means, if you just let me bury her in the field, that's nothing. I must do a Maisa Kinyan to demonstrate that it's a positive entity. Maisa Kinyan creates a Chalos. Without a Kinyan is nothing. Just put her in the field. No. I have to first create a Chalos Kinyan in the Soda. Then I can bury her. You see? It says, La Avram L'mitna V'yokam S'dei Ephron, and the matter says, Tekuma Haisala. Tekuma. Tekuma means it became a new entity. It became Hasad of Moshe Bo LaAvram LeMikna LeEin Evnechais VaAcharei Chain Kova Avram Esora Ishto Ma'oras Dei Machpelah Shalpanei Ma'amrei Chevron. Then, only when it became a positive Chefza, now he placed Sora in the Ma'oras Machpelah, and then it was complete. You say, then it was complete. Now, what is the concept of a Ma'oras Machpelah? What's the concept of a Ma'oras Machpelah? Find an interesting thing. When was the Ma'ora Samachpela used? What was the positive end? What was the positive concept of Ma'ora Samachpela? So there's an interesting Gemara. Gemara in Sota. Sota. On Lamed Dalai Lama Beis. So the Gemara mentions Rashi quotes of Nachumash. That who used the Ma'ora Samachpela? What do we find? I mean, where do we find the positive use for the Ma'ora Samachpela? Where? I don't mean, of course, the people who were buried there, of course. But I mean, we're saying that Avram and Yitzchak and Yaakov, you see all those psukim by Yaakov, that this is an important thing. This is not just somebody buried here. You remove the person from the world, you can't leave him on the ground, so therefore you have to put him on the ground. No. This is an entity of Achuzas Kover. It's a positive concept. It's something which is important, which we must have. What is it? What is the concept? What is it? I mean, Eretz Yisrael wasn't his yet. What right did he have to it? He didn't have any rights to it yet. Even though there's a Rashi, there's a Chazal that says. Yeah. What do you want to understand? By the way, where do you learn that Kinyan from? Where do you learn it? The Gemara learns that in Kedushin. From Sdei Ephron. Kinyan Isha is derived from Sdei Ephron. Okay? By Isha is the same exact thing. By Isha is the exact same thing. By an Isha, you can't create kiddushin. In order to create kiddushin, you have to have a positive chalos. Let's say people are married. What makes them married? There must be a positive chalos. Where do you derive the concept of a positive chalos? From this case, from Sdei Ephraim. That's where you derive it from. Why did Avram make a kinyan over here? The kinyan was to create a positive entity. A positive entity. But I'm asking you another question. The question I'm asking you is, what is the nature of this positive entity that required a kinyan, that Avram had to make a kinyan? What is the nature of the positive entity? Who used it? I don't mean the people who were buried there. Of course they used it. But I mean the afterwards. Klal Yisrael, where do you find that it was used?
What is the positive?
Vayalu vanege vayavo ad chevron. So in the time of the Meraglim, so the Meraglim went to spy out the land, so they came to Chevron. So the Gemara says, Amar Rava, Malamed Shepiresh Kolev Me'atzas Meraglim. That Kolev removed himself from the idea of the Meraglim, V'holach v'neshtatach al kivri avos. And he went and he spread himself out over the graves of the avos. That was Chevron, Kiryas Arba. Amar Lahan, he said to them, Avosai, Bakshu alai rachmi, she'en notzel me'atzas meraglim. That's what he said. He asked the avos to please be mispal for me, that I should be saved from the eights of the meraglim, from the conspiracy of the meraglim. You see? Yeah. That was the first use, actually. That was the first use that we find of the kever avos, of the Ma'oras HaMachpelah. What does it mean? The Gemara, we have a practical halacha that we do every year. The same exact thing. Where is that halacha found? Where do we have that halacha? It's a halacha of a similar kind of thing. Tishbav. Ramah mentioned Tishbav. Tishbav, after Kinnis, so Ramah says you're supposed to go to the Kvaros. To the Kvaros. So he says if there's a Jewish cemetery, so you go to a Jewish cemetery. If there isn't, you go to a Goyish cemetery. Where does it come from? It comes from the Gemara in Tainus. There's a Gemara in Tainus. Gemara in Tainus in the second parak. Second parak. So it gives you the Seder Tanyas. And then on the next daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Lama Yotzu LeBeis HaKvaros on a Tainas. That's what we're on Tishbav. It's a Tainas. Nothing special about Tishbav. Just a Tishbav is a Tainas Sibur. It's Tainas Sibur. On a Tainas Sibur, you're supposed to go to the Kvaros. So the Gemara says Lama Yotzu LeBeis HaKvaros Pligi bar Rabbi Levi bar Chomo v'Rabbi Chanina. It's machlokas. Why go? Chad Amar one says Hareyanu Chashuvim Lefanecha Kemesim. That the reason why you go to the Beis HaKvaros is that a person should say it's part of the tefillah. Hareyanu, where we're being mispalel. If a person's mispalel, so any egoistic type of feelings that he has is a direct contradiction to his tefillah. Is he saying he deserves it? So if a person's mispalel, he depends upon God's rachamim, it means he has to feel he's worthless. We don't have any exclusive. Our tefillah is just that you should help us. That's one concept. Okay? V'chad omar, and another mandomar says, Kidei sheyevakshu oleinu meisim rachamim. That the dead should be mevakesh, should ask, should be mispalel for us. Okay? And that's really, it's a halacha. That's a halacha. Okay? That's why the halacha says that your first choice should be to go to the Kivri Yisrael, because then you'll be yotzei according to everybody in the Gemara. Because the Gemara says shevakshu lena meisim rachamim. That's only by Jews. Goyim, not going to do any good. So therefore, but if the reason is harei anu chashuvim kemeisim, if that's the reason, so then goyim also. Why this question? What the purpose of going to the basic verses? All right. Okay. Now, Rabbi Akiva Eger in Tainus says, if you want to understand what exactly that means, Shevakshu Aleinu Meisim Rachamim, so Rabbi Akiva Eger says, take a look at the Tesfis and Seita, the Gemara that we mentioned. The Tesfis and Seita says like this. He says that Kolev ben Yefuna spread himself out over the Kivri Avos, and he said, Avosai bakshu alai rachamim. So he says, Vimtamate says, Vamar pegnishim esen, Gemara says in Brachas, the misi lo yadina midi. Dead people don't know anything. The Gemara asks a question, do the dead people know what's going on in this world or not? The Gemara says they don't know anything. So he says, mashma b'maskana, and the maskana is, from the maskana's Gemara is mashma, v'afilu avos ha'olam, even obviously Yaakov. They also don't know. Okay? So he says, yesh lomar, so Pesuk is an answer. He says, al yedei tefila shezeh mispalel, through the tefila that this person is being mispalel, modin lohen, they notify the avos, shekach mispalel. Okay? An interesting thing. It comes out as a funny kind of tefillah. It's a funny kind of tefillah. You're not really, they notify the others. God notifies the others. Okay? So he notifies them. So in other words, so, of course, you know, you realize you're not allowed to mispalel to anyone. That's one of the Yigimli Karim. Lo levado royal espalel v'ein royal espalel z'lasa. Not allowed to mispalel to any being, existence, whatever, besides God. Okay? So when Yeshua ben Nun said Bakshu Allah Rachman, it doesn't mean he was mispalel to them. It's a request. It's a request, you see? Let me explain to you. What does it mean, really? I just want to get down to what the nucleus of the idea is over here. The idea is, what is the concept? The concept is that human existence in this world, the earthly human existence, is only one aspect, one stage of the existence of the human soul. That's the idea. Hayiludim lamus, v'amesim lahachayos, v'achayim lidun. Chayim is lidun. That's the purpose in this world. But it's only one aspect of human existence. But human existence is the totality of human existence. If a person thinks that the totality of human existence is this earthly existence, then all of his values have to be completely distorted. Have to be. Because only have what we see here, that's it. So therefore, whatever we see is the basis of paganism, basis of paganistic idea. That's why Rabbi Elazar Kapor said that this idea must be clear to you, that the earthly existence, a person's existence in this world, is only one aspect of the existence of the human soul. That idea must be clear to an individual. His values cannot be based upon what takes place over here in the physical world, okay? What is the concept of Kivri Avos? Of Kivri Avos? Kivri Avos is precisely that idea. That's the concept. Achuzas Kever, Mora Samach Pelo is, Nishtatech al Kivri Avos means that when a person goes to the Kever of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov, so it means he has a realization of these perfected people that existed in the past, lived their life in total perfection, and that continue to exist. That continue to exist. You see, they are in existence now. That's why Tesis doesn't ask a kasha. How could it be, yes, kasha, how could it be that Kolev ben Yefuna went to the Chevron and he says, Bakshu alai rachamim, ain roi, lo levado roi, Tesis is better kasha, lo levado roi l'spal, ain roi l'spal l'zalaso. You can't be mispal to a mace. The person does that, he's okay, he's gimel kam. He's not because, he's a kefa beaker. So what's the answer? The answer is, he wasn't being misfouled to them. He was talking to them. He was talking to them. In other words, their existence continues. Their existence continues. So it's just like a person would go over to another individual who is alive and say, look, do me a favor, be misfouled to me.
That's why
so the concept is like this. The concept is, the idea is, what is the idea of Maor HaMachpelah? What is the idea of Maor HaMachpelah? Maor HaMachpelah means that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the souls are still in existence. Bakshu alei rachamim. So Tosfos says, but the Mason don't know what's going on, so they tell him. Whatever, they tell him somehow. Somehow he gets the communication. But the concept of Maor HaMachpelah means, what is Kivri Avos? What is Kivri Avos means the recognition of the way we look at human existence. That human existence does not cease, is not essential. This world is only one phase of human existence. but human existence continues. And why avos? Because the avos, a person's existence continues insofar as he lived a perfected life. So who are the people that were the perfected individuals whose lives continue? That's the avos. Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah. That's the whole establishment of the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That's what Avram Avinu said. Ma'aras HaMachpelah is not really a place that we have to have a problem. I don't know what to do with Sarah. What do I do with her? No, Ma'aras HaMachpelah is an establishing of a philosophy. It's a whole philosophy. Achuzas Kever. Vayakam Asara. Tekuma HaYisalah. Because now we're serving a whole different function. What's the function? The function of the realization of the nature of human existence, the true nature of human existence. That's why Kolev Ben Yefuna, in Atzas Meraglim, he saw that now he's going to get caught up in all kinds of conflicts, but the conflicts are based, the distortion is based upon one thing. What's the distortion based upon? The distortion is based upon a false recognition of the nature of human existence, you see. And that's what that's why it was Nishtatech al Kivri Avos. That's why in a Tainus we go to Kivri Avos. Machlokas, why? If you say the reason why I go to Kivri Avos is because of this reason, to recognize that the nature of human existence, so then you can't go to Goyish or Basic Avos. Goyim and Mason, that's it. I mean, there's nothing left. If only a person who lives, unless he's Chassid Yom HaSa'olam, is there a story? General Atem Kriyam Adam, Vain Umar Solom Kriyam Adam, because they don't live according to the ideas, because they live like Behemoths. But if you say if it's to break a person, teach him Chash of Kemais, then it doesn't matter which Kevri goes. What? So the idea, what did Kalev Ben Yefuna say? Kalev Ben Yefuna said, I'm going to get caught up right now in tremendous political conflicts, and I'm going to be stressed to the nth degree. It's a tremendous, a difficult time now for myself. What do I do? He says, there's one thing I have to do. The idea, the true idea of human existence has to become clear to me. So he went, recognition of the existence of those great individuals of the past whose lives continue, whose souls continue to exist. The full recognition of the nature of human existence became clear to him. That's why he was able to overcome the emotional difficulties. Because these difficulties come from a false perspective of human existence. And that's basically what the Mishnah says. We take a look at the Mishnah. Hayiludim lomos, v'amesim l'hachayos, v'achayim lidun, leida lo'odil livoda. What is leida lo'odil? Shehu borehu yotzer hu dayon. The whole system. It means that a person cannot really have a recognition of God unless he recognizes the true nature of human existence. And he sees the full cycle. Where is that concept? Where do we have it? Halacha always has to make use of a tangible object in order to bring a person to the idea. That's the nature of halacha. Tefillin is a tangible object. It's tangible, but it's also intangible. The ideas in the tefillin are intangible. The box of tefillin is tangible, but the ideas in the tefillin are intangible. The Torah takes you from the tangible to the intangible. That's the whole method of Torah. It's the whole system of Yadis. So what is the tangible? What is the tangible that reflects this concept? That's Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Chevron. Ma'aras HaMachpelah. That's the idea. The Achuzas Kever.
So this is the source of immortality of the soul.
Yeah, that's the source. Chevron, Ma'aras HaMachpelah is the concept of the immortality of the soul. That's what Avraham Avinu told the B'nai Ches. This is not simply removing a body. This is establishing individuals to be those that teach people the idea of the immortality of the human soul. That's Ma'aras
HaMachpelah.
That's very good. What Rabbi Rosenfeld is mentioning is, the Gemara says, Meis mitzvah konas makomo, the kinyan makom. What is the Allah of kinyan makom? The Allah of Kinyan Makom is based upon the whole idea, based upon the same idea of Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Kinyan Makom represents the concept of not simply, we don't simply remove the scar of the body, but a kruah represents, it's a tangible reflection of the idea of the immortality of the human soul. And that this existence is only a stage, a component of the entire realm of the existence of the human soul. That's the concept. And that's why the Torah placed such emphasis on, that's why Yaakov Avinu spoke so many words about the Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Kivros Yilavosai. This is the place that I have to be. Sora Shakon Avram, he established. Sora Shakon Avram, he established this concept. And Yaakov Avinu said, and that's why I have to this is my makom, to continue to perfect the entity that Avram Avinu began. And that's the concept, that's the basically behind the idea of a chiper ad maso amo, a chiper ad maso amo. It means that he's, the Torah is saying is that the individual exists beyond it's the immortality of the soul. Otherwise, the person is dead, he's discarded. What difference does it make where you put him? Put him here, put him there. It shows his destiny. It shows his destiny. It shows the demonstration of his destiny. Demonstration of his destiny.
In other words, if you would...
Really, Ma'aras HaMachpelah only had four pairs. Only had four pairs. The Avos plus Adam and Chava. Why Adam and Chava? Because Adam and Chava represents the goal of God's creation. That's Adam and Chava. Adam and Chava is the goal of it. That's God created Adam. That Adam reflects the ultimate goal. Adam and Chava represents the ultimate goal of man. Who fulfilled that goal? Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They fulfill that goal. That's why you have those four pairs only in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. After that, you can't have anybody in Ma'aras HaMachpelah. Of course, we treat every Jew, you know, Chipad Masa, I'm over, but that's not the same thing. Ma'aras HaMachpelah is only for those four pairs. Yes. By Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam mentions in his Pirush Mishnayos, the Maharam mentions, by Moshe Rabbeinu, the Rambam mentions something else. That Moshe Rabbeinu Lomais. Moshe Ben Lomais. What does it mean, Moshe Ben Lomais? It means that there was no difference in the state of his soul. He was the only one like that, Moshe Ben Lomais. There was absolutely no difference in the state of his soul after he passed away to before he passed away. There's no difference at all. Because the state of his soul. Other than the inherent fact that he was alive, that there's a combination between the soul and the love. I mean, that's good. But other than that, there was no difference whatsoever. One would be wrong. Actually, the Torah itself only deals with Olam Hazeh, because the Torah says this is the best way to live here. So now you're saying that the whole essence is the idea that the soul can exist. The answer is, if the soul only existed in this life, it would be a distortion of the value of the human soul. That would be an imperfection in terms of God's creation. That it creates an entity that's so profound and limits it to an existence which is tied to the physical. That would be a distortion, you understand, of the value of the human soul. It would not make sense. So that's why the Torah doesn't try to get people to keep halacha because of the next world. That's not really proper motivation. It's proven from this world that the Torah is the best life. That's true. But simultaneously, that the soul exists beyond this life is a truism that has to do with the nature and the value of the human soul. What happens by keeping the Torah? The happiest life, the most enjoyable life. And not because of the next world. That's not the reason for keeping the Torah. And yet over here we're saying, the whole concept is to appreciate the fact that the soul continues in the next life. The answer is that it's two things. If you're talking about motivation, why a person should keep the Torah, this life, the person that understands this life will know that the way of the Torah will give them the happiest life here. And that's lishma. That's a true motivation. But to say that God created the soul, that it's limited to this existence, is a distortion of the concept soul. Because it would mean that he created an entity whose nature exceeds physical existence, and yet he limits it to physical existence. That would be a distortion of the concept of the soul. So the idea that the soul exists beyond this existence is necessary in order to... The concept that the soul exists beyond this existence is necessary in order to have an accurate idea of the soul. If you don't have that idea, you're missing the idea of the soul. But to motivate people to keep Torah, that motivation should not be in terms of Olam Haba, because then it's a lowly small concept. It should be in terms of this is the proven way to live, because God creates a man in this world. He has to, the life that he gives him has to be the proper one for this existence. That's why the motivation is only from this world. But the existence of the soul, that it exists beyond this world, is a necessary concept in understanding the nature of the soul.
I just ask you, halakhically,
what? One more point. Rabbi Rosenblatt mentioned the point of Kavod HaMeis. And you see, it's interesting. The Rambam says in Hilchos Avil, where he mentions about Nichum Avelim. So he says, Nichum Avelim is superior to Bikur Cholim. Why? because Nichol Mavelim is Chesed Imachayim v'Imamesim. You see, so what does it mean Imamesim? The Mesim is gone. The answer is apparently you could do Chesed. Chesed is possible to do even with a Mes, even though he's gone. Because that's only possible to say if his existence, if there is some existence that the Mes has. Otherwise, it's impossible to relate to him. You see. That's a flash. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. The Kavod HaMes is that the Kavod HaMes is that there is a person, there's a person in existence that is higher than the physical. That's the whole concept of Kavod HaMes. Yeah, the concept of Mes Mitzvah is doche even a Kohen Gadol and even a Nazir, because Mes, the concept of Mes Mitzvah is at the root of the idea of the immortality of the soul. That's why it's doche everything. By the way, it explains the Chazal that Zev Meir mentioned, the Chazal that Rabbi Akiva. See, the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva said that when I was, he showed the difference between being an ignoramus and gaining knowledge. He says, when I was an ignoramus, he saw a Meis Mitzvah and he carried him for 2 miles. So they said, they came to the Rabban, and said, you wasted your time. On the contrary, he says, Chayav Meis Mitzvah. So he wasted it. He says, because Meis Mitzvah Kana is Makama. What is Kana? Why is Kana is Makama? Because Kinyan is the idea. That's the concept of Kinyan from Maras Machpelah. That is the proper way to give respect to demonstrate the idea of the immortality of the soul is through Kinyan, Kanas Makoma, the concept of Kinyan from Moras HaMachpelah. And he didn't realize that he was carrying the mace for miles. So that's why he said that by gaining knowledge, he was able to understand the proper way to express the desire. You have a desire to show cover the mace, but if you don't have any knowledge, you don't understand the concept of Moras HaMachpelah, of Kinyan, Kanas Makoma, so on the contrary, you're degrading the mace by carrying him all that distance. He's Kanas Makoma. I mean, just parenthetically, the kichichim is there for you know. It's always for people who you learn how to buying a sada, buying a field, a piece of karka that you compare to an isha. I mean, what kind of analogy is this? But the answer is, of course, it's in terms of the creating the chalos of an entity. That's the concept. It's not simply, it wasn't simply sada. It was a sada which the kinyan was necessary in order to create a chalos, create an entity. The same thing by Isha. Right? The answer is like this.
The question
was, when in Rashi it says, give a sosa, he says, if you're nice to me, I'll take like a gift. If not, a tosa, I'm going to grab it because I'm supposed to get it. God promised me I'm going to get it. But the pasuk says, kilos shalom of one amari dehina, which means you haven't got it right because you're not ready for honor, and it's theirs right now. So the answer is, insofar as being Kona Eretz Yisrael, you see, that's true. He had no right to take Eretz Yisrael for his own use. But this was necessary in order to establish the idea of the immortality of the soul for all of Klal Yisrael to use. That, he says, I have to take. You see? That, he says, I have to take. In other words, in terms of using the land for my own function, that I have no right. Kilo shalom avon emarit heino. But if this is necessary in order to have Klal Yisrael, then I know that God's will is that I must take this piece of land over here, you see, in order to establish this concept. Because this is the basic philosophical concept for Klal Yisrael, and I know Klal Yisrael is supposed to be established. So therefore, I must do it. You see? That's right. There's no doubt about it. I mean, Maras Machpelah represents a tie to the Ovos. That's the whole tie to the... But what is the purpose of a tie to the others? It's the purpose of a tie to the others is the ideas of this mission. To reflect on the true nature of the human...
Also the human soul.
That's the idea.
But also the whole idea...
Yeah, the ideas of Klal Yisrael, and that's the basic philosophical ideas of Hayaludin Malamos and Esmachios, Leidah Le'odiyah Le'vada, Hiyotze, Rabore, Uadon, Udayan, and the whole Mishnah. That's the essence. Okay, the only... point I wanted to make was with regard to the fact that Tosfos says that they tell Avram, the Yitzhak and Yaakov. So what is the importance of they tell? So you see that you're not even requesting that. It's just the fact that they become aware of it. So that is, what does that demonstrate? It simply demonstrates their existence. A little bit of Chumash. Mike Bernstein asked me a question yesterday. Okay, there's a in the Parsha, yesterday's Parsha, it says Revi. Vayelech Reuven b'mekitzir chitim. So Reuven went in the time of the harvest, and he found these nedarim in the field. Okay. And he brought them to his mother, Leah. So Rachel saw the Dudaim, and she said, please give me from these Dudaim. So Leah answered her. Leah said, it's not enough that you took away my husband. You also want to take away my son's Dudaim? So apparently the Dudaim had something to do. It wasn't one thing to do with the other. You know? So apparently the Dudaim were flowers. It had to do with a... With flowers in the tent, some kind of romantic setting. So she said, you take away my husband, and now you want to take this also. So Rachel said to her that Lochen Yishkav Imocha Laila Tachas the Doy Vinech. You give me the doyim, and you can have Yaakov tonight. So Yaakov came from the Sada, and Leah came out to greet him. And she said, "Elaitava. Why? Ki sochor sechaticho bedudoi b'nei. Because I paid for you with my son's dedoim. I hired you with my son's dedoim. Vayishkavim abalaylahu. So it says, Vayishma v'kim aleya. God listened to Leah. Vatar v'tel Yaakov ben chamishi. So she gave birth to a fifth son to Yaakov. So now it says like this. Vatoma Leah." So she sochar sechaticho bedudo ebeni, and she hired him, she rented him. Vayishma elakim aleya vatarat el bnei chamishi. So what did Leah say? Vatam aleya. So Leah said, Nasan elakim sechori ashenasati shifchasi leishi. So God gave me my reward that I gave my shifcha, my maidservant, to my husband. Vatikra shemo yisochar. Okay. So Mike Bernstein's question is that simply suddenly she goes. It should have said Vatomalenasalakim Sechari that I gave up my didoim, and because of that I had my husband Sechar Sechaticha, and she called him Yisachar because of the Sechar Sechaticha, right? But the pasuk says no. The pasuk says Nasalakim Sechari Shemsati Shivchasaliishi because I gave my maidservant to my husband. What does that have to do with it? That was something that happened before. As a matter of fact, if you read before, she was upset about that because it says that Vatera Leah, Pasuk Tes, Vatera Leah ki amdom yiletas etikah hazilpa shivchasa vatidon zol Yaakov Lisha. So she gave Zilpa, her maidservant, to Yaakov. Vatel Zilpa shivchas leil Yaakov bein. She gave birth to a son. Vatoma Leah bogad. Okay, there's a question of whether you read it ba gud. That's the way the Masorah says. You read it ba gud. It's two words. Baal Kairish, you read it as two words. But Rashi has a second shot. Rashi has a second shot that it's not ba gud, but the second shot is dovracha, lomo nikras tevachas. It's a strange Rashi. Rashi says, why is it read as one word? So apparently Rashi didn't read it ba gud, but Rashi read it ba gud. Because Rashi said lomo nich teves teva achas, but Rashi says why is it read as one word? So one time I asked the Rav about this, so he said to read it twice. Okay, so Rashi says kumo bogadata bi kishe bosa el shifchasi. In other words, you were faithless to me, because when you live with my shifcha kishe bogad beishes neurim, like a person who was disloyal to his Eishes Neurim, to his true wife. So like disloyalty. But it's interesting, but she gave the Shifcha, yet she felt upset, bogad. She felt it was an act of disloyalty. So she wasn't too happy about that at the time. Now over here the Torah brings it back again. That's an interesting thing. You see, what I want to say is, why is this so? The pshat is that when we say that the avos and the imahos, that they, we know that whatever they did was under a special hashgacha, under a special hashgacha, hashgachas Hashem. Like the Rambam explains in the Mora that most people are simply under chance. There's a chance law. There's a cause and effect law, chance law of the universe. And most people are in that realm. Except the Rambam says for Klal Yisrael, which is under God's direct hashgacha throughout history, and also a certain few tzaddikim that are under God's constant hashgacha. And primarily, that's really the whole purpose of the Torah telling us all these stories about the Avos, the Imos, because everything they did was under the Ashgacha, under Ashgacha Hashem. You see? Now, what I want to say is like this, that it's not simply Ashgacha Hashem, meaning that the Avos and the Imos partook of the laws of chance plus an additional Ashgacha, but it means that insofar as they're under the Ashgacha, they're under the Ashgacha to the exclusion of chance, which means that everything that occurs to them is purely a result of their level, not because of chance. So anything fortuitous also, which occurs, was not simply because of chance occurrence, but it was because of the special Ashgacha. So now what happened was like this, that Leah said, you see, if you take a look at Rashi, the pasuk says that Vayishma Lekim Leah, that God listened to Leah. God listened to Leah. So what does Rashi say? Rashi says Shehoiso Misavel Machzeres Laharbos Shvatim, that she really wanted to build the Shiftei Ka, to establish, she had a desire to establish the Shiftei Ka. You see. So that's why also, that's why really. That's why she gave away the Dedoim. That's why she gave away the Dedoim. So she wanted to establish a Shiftei Ka and she gave away the Dedoim. But she realized that the giving the away of the Dedoim was only the physical circumstance of why she had a fifth child. Was because she gave away the giving away of the Dedoim was the physical situation, you see. But when Leah thought into why she deserved it, why she deserved to have the Bein Chamishi, so she thought the reason is not because of the giving away of the Dedoim. That's okay. She gave it the Dedoim. That's not the reason. She said the reason why she was really Zocha was because of what she said before, Bogod. Because it really hurt her to give her Shifcha Zilpa to Yaakov, because to her it was emotionally difficult to see her husband live with the maidservant, but she did it anyways. Why? Because she wanted to remind the Shiftei Ka. So that's why she said, the reason why I was Zochet to have the Bein Chamishi is not because of the Dudoyim. The Dedoim is only the physical circumstance. But why was she really Zochet to have the Bein Chamishi? Because she overcame her emotions. Her emotions to her romantic emotions towards Yaakov, which is very hard for a person to overcome, to allow the Shifcha, the maidservant, to live with Yaakov, or something which was difficult for her. That was a real sacrifice. So that's why she said Bedafka, that the reason why she was Zocha was Shinasati Shifchasi Leishi, not because of the Dedoyim. Dedoyim is a small thing. But the real reason she was Zocha was because she had the desire to be Mamet Shiftei Ka, like Rashi says. And what was the highest expression of that desire to be Mamet Shiftei Ka? The highest expression of that desire was Nasati Shifchasi Leishi. But it's an interesting thing, and this is I want to mention the Torah Tamimah says the Pshat. The Pshat that I'm saying is based on the Torah Tamimah. The word Yisachar is a strange word because there's a silent sin. Really, it's supposed to be read Yisachar, but we have a Masorah that we only read it Yisachar. In some places, the first time they read Yisachar. It could be there's a basis for it. And what is the basis of this? Why is it such a strange word? I mean, there's no other names that are written like that. You pronounce every letter. But he's a very good pshat. He says the pshat is because really why did she say, the Torah Tamimah says, why did she say Yisa Schar? Because really the word was, it was a double Schar. It was double Schar. One was Sachor Sachaticha B'dudo Ebeni. You see? And the other one is Nasan Alakim Schari. Shenasati Shifchasi Le'ishi. See, that was the second schar. It was a double schar. So instead of saying just the word schar straight, she put in a sin, schar, meaning duplication. You know what I mean? She started the word, it's like you're starting the word schar, and then you say the word schar. So you start with a sir, like when a person stammers, schar. Which means that it's as if they're saying the word twice. So he wants to say that the reason why you don't pronounce it is because the story with the Dedoim is not really derogatory. That's why you leave it out, right? Because he brings a riot, says the Gemara says that you're not matagim certain the areas of the ego, for instance, Gemara says that you're not matagim because it's a bizion. But I was thinking of another shot. Shot is like this. That is true. It's based upon the double schar. But the point is that the double schar involves two things. It involves a situation of sechor sechaticha, and it also involves the real reason why she received the schar, the true schar. Shenasati shifchasi li'ishi. So, by the avos and the imahos, since the ashgacha was the essential cause, so that's why the physical cause is not pronounced. You see? The physical cause is silenced. And the Sechor Sechaticha B'dudoei B'ni is silenced. You know, it's there. It's true that was a physical cause. But the real cause, the essential cause, was because she overcame her... she was Maveras Almidasel. That she overcame her emotions and she gave her maidservant to Yaakov, which caused a great emotional pain, which showed the extent to which she wants to build Shiftei Kor. That was the real reason that she was Zocha, not because of the physical situation of the Doyim. So the physical situation is silenced, you see, and prominence is given to the real reason, that she was deserving because she was on that level. That's
maybe
her
another sense.
See, that would explain also why it could be, that's why the first time they read it, also why it could be, that's why the first time they read it, Yisoschar. You see? Can I understand the first one? Because that's really the true derivation of the word. Yisoschar, the double schar. But then what you do is you silence the physical situation because of the idea. Interesting. Now Yaakov reprimanded Rachel because she wasn't really totally l'shem shemayim on that. She was disturbed about her own personal... she was barren. It bothered her. Emotionally, it bothered her. That's why Yaakov got angry and said, Asachas l'kim anachi. You should be mekabel gzeres Hashem, and that's it. But Leah was the one that the Torah depicts as really being maimed, having that the correct attitude in terms of being maimed shiftei kor. Okay.
Did you say that?
Yep. We're talking about God's... the idea of God's Ashgacha. Of God's Ashgacha. And the fact that we don't really, that we as a nation, we believe in God's Ashgacha, but in a totally different way than any other nation has, any other nation, the concept of the other nation has, with regards to divine providence. We don't really fully understand. It's not emotionally satisfying, our concept of Hashgachas Hashem. Not an emotionally satisfying idea. We don't understand the idea. We just know certain things about it. And the essence of what we know about it is what the Rambam states. It's in the 47th perek, in the second book of the Mor Nevuchim. where he talks about what God loves. He says, when he talks about the area of Nevoah, so he says that when you really understand the premises that I've established, and the premises of Nevoah, he says, then it'll become clear to you all the Nevoahs, what the concept of Nevoah is and how Nevoah works. And he says, and you'll remain with intellectual ideas of Nevoah and the whole organization of Nevoah, the processes of Nevoah. He says, and this understanding is something that's favorable to God. He says, "Ki ein rotzi lefonav yisala ki im ha'emes." Because the only thing that God finds favorable is the truth. "Ve'ein machiso ki im ha'shav." And the only thing that angers God is falsehood. He says, "Va'al yisbalbalu hashkafos secho machshavos secho." The yu b'deos secho hashkafos bilti nechonos rechokos ma'od min ha'emes v'sach shevim Torah. He says you shouldn't be confused with ashkafos and ideas, and you shouldn't have in your mind, in your deos, in your mind, ideas that are not true and that are far removed from the truth, and that you should think that this is really, that these ideas are Torah. He says, "Ki atoros heim emes tzerufa," because the Toros, the ideas of the Torah, are purified, rarefied truth, im huvenu karoi, if they're understood properly. Amar tzedek edo sechol olam. V'amar nir Hashem dover tzedek. Okay. And the Rambam, that's what we mentioned last time, that the idea that what does God love, that God loves people with people who have the true ideas. That's what's rotzu lefonav. And in the world at large, that's not the case. People think that God loves a person that tries hard to try. He exerts a lot of effort to approach him. But we explained it's not just a simple thing. I mean, the Yadis is the only nation that came out with the idea that falsehood is evil and that truth is righteousness. They equated the two. That knowledge and truth is righteousness and falsehood is evil. Like the Rambam mentions, well, you see, the Avdevaz, I mean, very well, they sacrificed their children. What could be a bigger sacrifice than that? I mean, in terms of personal sacrifice, can't ask for more than that. But that's hateful. That's hateful in the eyes of God. It's an abomination in the eyes of God because it's removed from the truth. And a person who has the truth is the one that God loves. That's the central idea of Yadis. And there's an interesting... Yes? As a matter of fact, the Rambam mentions that in that very chapter. He says, anyone that believes that God has emotions... God, to in relationship to the Creator, a person believes that God has emotions or any false notions concerning God. He says that's the furthest away from the truth that a person can be, and that's something which is hateful in the eyes of God. When we say that God loves the ones that have the truth, it doesn't mean love in terms of an emotional love. There's nothing to do with that kind of concept whatsoever. It's just an expression that conveys the idea that there's a relationship between God and those people that have the truth in a beneficial manner. That's what it means. That doesn't mean anything more than that. That there is a relationship between God and the person or people that have the true ideas. That's God's Ashgach, in a way that those people who have the true ideas are benefited in this relationship. That's what it means by Avas Olam Avtan or Hashem Elokeinu. What do you say? Ava Rab Avtan, Hashem Elokeinu, Chem L'Gdol V'Serech Hamal D'Leinu. And what does it talk about? That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah. Yeah. Atlam Deinu Chukichayim. The greatest gift that God gave man is that far greater than any personal gift that an individual would imagine, was simply giving us a way of life, which is a true way of life. And that's an expression of Avas Hashem. That's what I mean by Avas Hashem. God's love is not to be construed in any way like human love. That's anthropomorphic. That's what the Rambam says, the furthest removed from the truth. Okay. But we do use the expression to convey the idea. But there's an interesting haftarah. And it's in Parashas Lech Lecha. And the Haftarah talks about it's interesting to see the way the Navi conveys the true ideas to the Klal Yisrael, to the Hamon. Because that's always a difficult thing. It's a difficult thing. Why? Because the Hamon really is not on the level to perceive the abstract philosophy. Like the Rambam says, the Torah is divided up into the plain Torah that everybody could read. And then there's what we call Sisrei Torah. Sisrei Torah means ideas that are the heart of the system, but they're only accessible to a person who has gained knowledge. A person who doesn't have the knowledge, I mean, he can't. He simply can't partake of it. But the Navi, you see, is caught in between. The Navi has to explain. The Navi doesn't really compromise in any way. He's not like a pulpit rabbi that tries to feed into the emotions of the people. You see, he does have to work with the emotions, though. But he doesn't try to give them any false satisfactions. He doesn't try to compromise. He doesn't try to tell them that there's a tzara. He doesn't try to tell them, oh, this tzara is wonderful because now the sign that we know that Mashiach is coming, things like this, these type of nonsensical things, Navi doesn't deal with. Navi tries to convey to the people the true ideas, but in an interesting way. And I think that the Haftorah that expresses this is best is the Haftorah of Parshas Lech Lecha. So it would be nice I thought maybe we'd just take a look at the way the Navi does it. It's an interesting thing. You can really rip. Loma Soma Yaakov is Daba Yisrael. So Haftorah says that why should the Jews, it's repetition, but it means why should the, why should Yaakov and, why should the Jews say? In other words, complain basically. What do they say? They say, Nistra Daki Mer Hashem, Melekai Mishpati Yavo. So they say that my way is hidden from God, and from before my God, my judgment is passed. Which means to say that God isn't. Why do the Jews suffer? Why do we suffer? And there's no Ashgachas Hashem. Why don't we say Ashgachas Hashem? Because Klal Yisrael was upset that they didn't receive the Gula. So they say. So we see that there's no Ashgachas Hashem. That's basically the argument. That's the argument. That's the argument all through the ages. Navi is not just time of Navi, but all through the ages. So the Navi starts off like this. It starts off with the next pasuk. The premise. Halo yadato em lo shomata. Do you not know if you haven't heard? Elokei olam ad Hashem borei kitzos ha'oretz. Lo yiyaf lo yiga ein cheke l'smanaso. It says, don't you know that you're speaking about the God of the universe, the one who created the ends of the earth, who doesn't weary and doesn't get tired. And ain cheke l'smanaso. It means there's no way, there's no limit, there's no way, there's no apprehension of his understanding. So first the Navi, what he does is he throws the klal into a different perspective. In other words, a person always thinks, a person with egocentricity, it seems so clear to him that this is the thing that should occur. So the Navi says, just wait a minute. You're saying that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't really understand the situation like you do. But who are you referring to? You're referring to Elokei Olam, the Borei Olam, the one who created the universe, the being whose knowledge is unfathomable. Ain cheker l'smanaso. There's no way to fathom his knowledge. So you have to realize it throws the question completely into a different perspective. Wait a minute, you're asking a kasha. But do you know who you're asking a kasha about? You're asking a kasha about Borei Olam. You have any concept of his chachma? Ain cheker l'smanaso. There's no way to fathom his knowledge. So that's the Navi's starts off right away. That's his first first premise that he lays down. Now, but of course, if he would stop there, so then he would leave the people hanging. I mean, it's true. It's true. The Navi is logically, he's right. That the question, any question that we can consider, we don't understand the physics of the universe, baffles the mind of man for centuries and centuries. And man can't begin to scratch the surface in terms of understanding the universe. So how can you understand God's will or the way God works? But just to stop there, fine, it's a logical answer, but where does that leave a person? It leaves him nothing. So he has no hope, so that's it. You see? So the Navi continues. And Navi's like this. No sein la yoif koach, ulein onem otzma yarba. See, the Navi turns back and he says, yeah, but this is what we do know about God. that God gives to those who are weary strength, and to those that have no energy, their energy increases.
Okay.
And young people will become weary and tired, and young powerful men will stumble. No matter how much physical strength they have, they stumble and they lose the battle. V'kovei Hashem yachalifu choach yalu ever kanasharim. But those whose trust is in God, they're the ones that summon forth energy, and they'll spread wings like the eagles. Yerutzu v'lo yigo'u yelchu v'lo yafu. So first the Navi says that then he establishes the premises. First he says you kasha, you don't understand your kasha. But he says this, so we don't understand anything about God, so it leaves you helpless. No, these facts we know. That those who have trust in God are more powerful than the most powerful giant, most powerful individuals. And the young people who are physically able can stumble and fall, but those who go with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's way, they're the ones that are successful. Like David against Goliath. Like David against Goliath. Then he says like this. He says, so he establishes...